Second parsha of Krishma. Good morning, Judah. The second parsha of Krishma is, of course, translating belief into mitzvos. V'ayim shema tishmael mitzvosai, asher anuchi mitzav eshem ayom. Not enough to believe in Hashem, to miyachet shem Hashem, but to mekabel malchus shemayim. Now, the way that the second parsha describes this from Ekev is in the context of a bris. It sounds like b'chukosai, it sounds like kisavo. If you hazinu, if you nishmarz mitzvosai, v'ayim shema tishmael mitzvosai, asher anuchi mitzav eshem ayom. If you don't, not only will you not receive but you'll be expelled from the land. Okay? And you'll be Now, the problem is that, I mean, there are two issues that are fascinating about this parak. One is, there's no mention of Olam Haba. This would be the parak you'd expect Olam Haba to appear. If you follow mitzvahs, you receive Olam Haba. It's obviously not unique to this parak. It's reflective of the entire Torah that Olam Haba is suppressed. And not only is it suppressed, but there aren't even allusions to it. Tchias HaMesim is also suppressed. But Tchias HaMesim, there are references. Az Yashir Moshe Ovenei Yisrael Az Hashir Azoz Az Yashir. There are many references, allusions to Tchias HaMesim. There aren't any to Olam Haba, which actually means that the Rambam doesn't count Olam Haba as part of the Yad Gimel Ikarim. He counts Tchias HaMesim as part of the Yad Gimel Ikarim. So if you deny Tchias HaMesim based on the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, you're in L'chelek Olam Haba, ironically. You're in that Bikaris. But denying Olam Haba, obviously we feel that it's central to our belief system, but it doesn't make the Rambam's cut of 13. But it's not unique to this Parsha. That's just symptomatic of the entire Torah. It doesn't want to sell out religion as a surrender of this world just to get to Olam Haba, but the Torah is presenting, especially in this parak, Avodas Hashem as the best way to lead your life in this world, to lead to a complete lifestyle. You'll serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll receive bounty and prosperity and welfare. Now the problem is, we don't always have this cause and effect world. It's not like all the time, anytime we've done mitzvos, then all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu has responded when we don't do mitzvos. So the Ramban feels, what you could say, which we typically feel, is that there are different tekufos, there are different periods in history. And when we were in Eretz Yisrael, we lived under a more cause and effect world. And that every mitzvah provided an effect that was beneficial. And every aver provided an effect which was detrimental. And it was an easier world to navigate. And part of living in the world of Hester Panim is not just we don't understand Hashem's place in history and why history is taking negative turns, but you don't even see cause and effect. Tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. You can commit a mitzvah and suffer. You can commit an avera and prosper. That's what the Ramban, that's what we typically say. The Ramban in Parsha Ekev says something a little bit different. That this Parsha of mitzvah performance yielding success and avera performance and mitzvah abandoning leading to disadvantage, that's only for people in the extremes. Tzadikim gemurim, live that type of lifestyle, or Rishayim gemurim. Most of us in the middle, and most people, 99% of the people live in that middle part of the spectrum, you don't have such an easy barometer. I performed the mitzvah, there's going to be schar. I performed the nevera, there's going to be withholding of schar or onesh. You don't really have that. So this whole parsha, Vayim Shema, is like this grand ideal that the Torah is describing, that we should try to strive to be tzaddikim gemurim, or try to avoid chas v'shalom being rishayim gemurim. But most people in the middle, you can't really judge their behavior by their results. The cause and result doesn't really stack up. Of course, the most famous machlokas in discussion about this parak is the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. One could say that in a general sense, yesterday was the Levaya of Rabbi Gershon Edelstein, Zechat Tzadik Livracha. So he was the leader of the Haredi community in Eretz Yisrael. And this community, this whole question, whether you should work or you should only learn Torah, is part of the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Yishmael said that on the one hand, the Torah says, you have to learn day and night. But then how would you work? So according to Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk of Yasafta Digonecha V'Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha is coming to moderate and to temper the pasuk. You can't learn all day because then how will you earn a living? And therefore, Rabbi Yishmael says, you Hanig Ba Minhag Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is an interesting word. Today, in today's world, Derech Eretz means you're respectful, you're nice, you're kind. Derech Eretz means what's accepted by humanity, human convention. What if you interviewing the average person, an average upstanding citizen, how would they behave, what are their conventions. We call culture, civility, politeness, convention. And that means you act in a certain way in public, and that means... But also, one of the human conventions is the people are the living. So we first turned Derech Eretz into a mantra, term Derech Eretz, to mean you can learn Torah and earn a living. Derech Eretz doesn't really mean earning a living. Derech Eretz means you follow the way of the land. By the way, one of the things that people in this world do is that they earn a living, so you follow that as well. But this is where Rabbi Shmuel uses the term Derech Eretz in the Hirshian way. Hanig ben minig Derech Eretz. So you can actually earn a living. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, he laments, he says he was, again, much more of a strident purist. He says, well, if you follow that recipe, so, okay, not only will you not have layamush, you won't fulfill layamush, you could say that v'yasafta degonecha moderates layamush, okay, so that's a heter, not to fulfill layamush, but you won't learn Torah at all. So he's worried about the bottom, about bottoming out. Okay, it's one thing to say v'yasafta degonecha gives you a heter not to fulfill layamush. But if you're a charish b'shas charisha, v'zareh b'shas zariah, because b'shas ksira, Tara mate aleh. And that's an interesting phrase, Tara mate aleh. Is he discussing the personal challenge or the communal agenda? Namely, he should have said, if you're chorish b'shas chavisha, eni yachol l'motar, you'll be so busy, you won't be able to learn Torah. But that's not true, because you can work and learn Torah. But Torah excellence may suffer. If everyone works and no one takes off their entire life to learn Torah, so even though everyone will learn their hour at night, Torah matahela. Torah itself will suffer because it's not being advanced. It's not being developed because everyone's just learning a Jew called Daf Yomi. Imagine if the whole world worked and learned Daf Yomi. It'd be a great world. It'd be a better world. But you can imagine that. So it's not like you know, Mr. Tarragon, Mr. Schwartz, won't be able to learn Torah. You take an hour or two at night, you learn Torah. But Torah matahela. What will happen with the agenda of Torah if everyone says, I don't think that people read this enough for Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. It's not that you can't learn Torah if you're working. You can. But the sum total, this process called developing Torah and excellence in Torah, Torah will lose. Not that you'll lose, Torah will lose. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that it's not as if v'yasafta degonecha is meant to taper layamush, but v'yasafta degonecha is only a inferior situation. Ideally, layamush atar is emipicha. And when you follow Ritzon Hashem Makom, here's an interesting phrase, this is really the foundation of the Haredi approach, which is interesting, because I'll tell you the pasuk the Gemara quotes: "Bizman sheosim yitzono shel makom melachta nasa saidei acherim." Right? People ask a person that attends the Haredi lifestyle, "Wait a second, how could you be?" They use very, very harsh words. I hate the words they use, but the basic gist is: how can you morally rely on other people to support you? People who are very anti-religious will use very harsh terms. But the question is morally. So the answer is, look at this Gemara, that Hashem is giving you the right, Le'yamash Hazami Picha, and Melachnas Nasei Derechem. How do you know? So here's a pasuk that no one really knows. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. V'amdu Zarim, strangers will come, U'ru'ut Samchem, and they will shepherd your sheep. And of course, Bizman She'en Yisrael Simen Sam Shal Makom, where Am Yisrael does not fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, then V'yasaf T'digonecha, then you have to work. So a Haredi approach would say, we are going to fulfill Hashem's Ratzon, and will allow a situation in Malachta Nasas Aydeh Acherim. Now, what's interesting about the Shita is the Pasuk in Yeshaya that validates Malachta Nasas Aydeh Acherim describes Zarim, strangers, like Goyim, non-Jews. So you have the right to work and to rely on the Zarim working for it, to learn, and rely on the Zarim. Person who would not agree with the Haredi approach would say you may not have the right to learn and to depend upon another Jew to support you, because that other Jew is not a czar. So, it's hard to know what to use the word czar, but this is where the whole conversation takes place. It's an old conversation between Rabbi Yishmael, who took more of the Derech Eretz approach, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who said, Bizman she Yisrael, and it all came from the Pesukim, because on the one hand, Layom HaShatar Zemipicha, Nilhen Vechalta Deganecha, Vesir HaShlev Yitzarecha. Yishmael felt the Pasuk in Shema modifies the pasuk of Le'yamash. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, the pasuk in Shema is a b'di'evet. If you're not osim mitzvah shomakom, you can't aspire to Le'yamash. But if you are osim mitzvah shomakom, you're allowed to aspire to Le'yamash, and Hashem guarantees, based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, v'amdu zarim u'ru'ut samchem, that strangers will come and provide parnasa for you. And of course, Abaye came and concluded, he said, a lot of people have tried Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and haven't succeeded. It's obviously more commonly successful to be Noheg Derech Eretz, to be able to learn and work as a blend. we're living through an interesting time. It's hard to know how long this will last, and it's hard to know what this is an indicator of. But you really, because of the state of Israel, primarily, because of the funding the state of Israel provides for Torah, Baruch Hashem, it's been an entire culture. It's not just a few people, or it's an entire culture. Again, it has historical basis in, you know, the 1800s and the 20th century, but we're living in a very interesting moment, and certainly someone that supports Torah, that enjoys Torah, and that learns Torah, there's a flourishing of Torah. And even if you don't feel that this is you, Pasuk of Rabbi Yishmael, or you read the Pasuk of Shimon Bar Yochai in a way that's different, it's only a shita that not only should you validate, but it's a shita you should be excited about. Even if you're excited about something you don't necessarily live your life by and benefit from it. So it's an interesting conversation that takes place in the Gemara and Brachos, Lamed Hamid Beis. If you have a little bit of time, maybe look up some Rishonim and Achronim. Not that many Rishonim, but look at people who wrote about this Gemara and what they would say. Again, this wasn't so relevant for so many centuries because Jews really didn't have the opportunity to earn a living. So it's not like there was great, great debates about what to do. The margins, the options were very limited. You had to earn a living. No one's really going to help you. The state of Israel wasn't going to finance you. And most of your earning of living was not to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, but to be a shmata salesman and go to the marketplace and sell your vegetables. And you need it because there's sakanas and fashas because there's no money. It's not as if there were great debates in the 14th century, should we learn or should we work? There weren't wasn't financing available for Torah, and Jews were living like field mice, like poor field mice. So it was like you worked as best as you could, you're 3 hours in the market, and you learned as best as you could. The Rambam writes that in the 12th century, the average Baal HaBas would learn 9 hours a day. Not the Talmud Chacham, not the Rosh Hashiva, the average Baal HaBas, which is reflective of both their economic situation and the socio-demographic situation. They didn't have much to do, so they were free to learn, and that's why there was, at least amongst those who were learned and conversant in Torah, there was a level of Torah excellence. Of course, they had fewer Svarim also, so they have to read 40 Svarim on every Sugya, so it led to a certain facility in Torah learning. But interesting Gemara. Of course, everything else, don't let your ideology taint your intellectual honesty. Read Gemaras, read sources, see what they say. A lot of people bring their ideology and their ideological prejudice towards reading Gemaras, and that's very, very... Start with intellectual honesty. What does Gemara say? And then you have your parish, he has his parish, but don't prefab Gemaras just because you want them to accord with your hashkafa or your approach. It's very, very dangerous. As with everything, anytime you don't apply intellectual honesty, you never get internalized information because you never have a yardstick by which you gauge information whether it makes sense. You always have to start, does this make sense to me? And be honest when you read things. And the difference between someone who's a believer and someone who's a skeptic is when something doesn't make sense, so the skeptic says, oh, it doesn't make sense to me, it must not make sense. Whereas the believer says, it doesn't make sense to me, let me see if I could get more information, let me see if I could work harder at making it comprehensible to me. And if I can't, then it just doesn't make sense to me because I don't have the tools, but it doesn't mean that the whole system is flawed. So a lot of people are afraid of intellectual honesty today, but it's leading to a lot of shallowness and lack of internalization. You have to really start with, but you have to practice it. Really, some people are intellectually honest when it serves them, but not intellectually honest when it doesn't serve them. You're very, very pedantic about intellectual honesty, and you work hard at understanding information, you'll start to internalize information at a deep level. You have to make sure that intellectual honesty doesn't lead you to become skeptical just because you can't understand. Okay? Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.